We welcome you to the Autoimmune Mamas podcast with Teresa and Tiffany.
We wake up every single day with the reality that our lives have been interrupted by autoimmune diseases, but there is no stopping us. We are here as two friends, two mothers, hundreds of miles apart, wanting to share our stories with you. We will talk about our wins, our struggles, and everyday life. Please join us as we take this journey.
I am Teresa.
And this is Tiffany.
And we have a guest speaker with us today. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Jackson. I'm 17 years old and I have celiac disease.
All right, welcome, Jackson. I'm glad you joined us today. This is going to be great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, so what I know about celiac, Jackson, is really not a whole lot. I mean, it's an autoimmune disorder, which is, of course, what our podcast is mostly about. And I know that you react to eating gluten, right? Mm-hmm. So gluten is found in wheat, is probably the most common thing I can think of. And I know that over time it can damage the intestines, right? Is that, I guess that's what I know about it. So I'll let you probably fill in more. So I guess my first question is, how old were you when you were diagnosed and how did you know something was wrong?
So it's actually kind of an interesting story. I was 4 years old when I was diagnosed. So my maternal grandmother, when she gave birth to my uncle, she started having digestive issues. And for like 20 years, she would have problems with like eating bread, obviously. And gluten is the protein that's found in most wheat products. And so she was just having trouble with that. And she finally got diagnosed when she was 56. When something like she had kind of a complicated childbirth with my uncle, and that can really jar things loose. And so sometimes these autoimmune diseases can lie dormant for a while. And so that's kind of what happened with her. So she got diagnosed when she was 56, and she told my mom, hey, it can be hereditary. And my mom had been having digestive problems and called the University of Chicago's newly founded Celiac Disease Center. It had just been starting up, and they were doing free testing. And so my mom got me and my sister and herself tested, and I ended up testing positive. So, yeah.
Wow. Are you the only one of you, your mom and your sister?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just my grandma and me are the only gluten-free members of the family.
You know, it's interesting you bring up that childbirth and then that causing problems for your grandmother. Actually, childbirth is when I started having most of my issues too. I had a blood clots after, breathing issues after. So it's interesting how things just happen when your body goes through changes. So that actually you touched on something we've talked about before. So what is your treatment besides like a strict gluten-free diet? I'm assuming, do you have a strict gluten-free diet? What does that look like?
Yeah. So, my symptoms are pretty moderate. I mean, I know people who have symptoms who are much worse than mine. And, I will have reactions from time to time, but, one time when I was a little kid, my dad, when we were really new to, this gluten-free diet, my dad ended up, giving me the wrong type of pasta.
Oh,
and
no.
I ended up having like two plates of it and nothing even happened. It's kind of a weird thing. I mean, but I got diagnosed. I have had reactions. Sometimes I will, sometimes I won't. But I mean, obviously the safest way to go is the strict gluten-free diet. But other than that, really no treatment that I've been using in my daily life. I mean, if I don't like stick with the gluten-free diet, can lead to complications later in life. And it can actually, it's actually been linked to other autoimmune diseases like MS and type 1 diabetes. So.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Got it. So
how old did you say you were when you were tested?
I was four.
You meant 4 years old?
Yeah. Okay. So down the line, that's interesting that it could lead to those other issues. So that's probably always in the back of your mind, right? Do the best you can do. and hopefully ward off other complications in the future.
Yeah, it's been tied to if you ignore it your entire life, it can get pretty bad. I mean, I actually know my mom, when I first got diagnosed, she didn't really know what to do, and some of her friends, her friend's son had it, and he has much more intense symptoms than me. It leads to hypoglycemia.
Okay.
Eventually, I mean, usually, but this kid had type 1 diabetes just like since he was born, and they also diagnosed celiac with him. I mean, I have my mom, my parents to thank, you know, for kind of revolutionizing the way we eat as a family, very much. I mean, we all basically eat gluten-free because it's just it's pretty counterproductive to just make an entirely different dish for one member of your family. So.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Wow. Yeah. Having two young ones myself, they eat what we eat because I feel like it's ridiculous to make more than one meal. That's hard enough work as it is. I'm not making three or four meals. Sorry. You're going to eat what I'm eating. No, that's great. I feel like I have a friend and her name's Amy. And if she's listening, she has a daughter with celiac, and I can remember working with Amy, and she had come in and told me that, she accidentally switched pizzas. So she ordered like a gluten-free crust pizza and then a regular one, and her daughter got the wrong one. And she was just devastated. You know, as a parent, she tried so hard to make sure nothing like that ever happened. And that was, you know, one of the worst days of her life, I think, just seeing the effects it had on her daughter and, you know, trying so hard. So I give credit to parents who are really trying to work this, you know, work through this.
Yeah, of course.
Especially for kids, you know, it's just hard. Someone I work with too, her son has celiac. So it's hard. I mean, and there's more and more products out there that are gluten-free, but there wasn't always, you know, all these products out there. I mean, now there's, you know, hamburger buns, hot dog buns, pizzas, you know, they have pretty much really producing this stuff by storm. But before, no, I mean, there wasn't any kind of special gluten-free bun you can get, you know what I mean? And there's these kids, you know, everyone's having a hot dog or a hamburger. And I can only imagine, kid, you know, if you're a kid and you have it, that how left out you feel sometimes. Did you ever feel that way, Jeff?
Yeah. Actually, I still do this to this day, but I don't really think of it now, but I would, when everybody would, like, when we would go out for fast food or something and everyone would get a hamburger, I get a hamburger with no bun, and I would have to eat it with a fork and knife, like, right, and cut it up like a steak. And I always just, I don't know. I was like, yeah, maybe I really want to know what that tastes like. And yeah, maybe I really want to know what a Pop-Tart tastes like. But, you know, one example.
They're not that good.
I'm not missing out. Okay. All right. Yeah. But a lot of the like the large scale companies, one that I can think of is Doritos. Doritos used to the nacho cheese flavor ones. They used to not be gluten free, but now that a lot of people, I mean, it's just a healthier way to eat because you can really just cut down on your carbs that way. Right. And so I mean a lot of these companies are putting out gluten-free products more and more, which is really nice. But I remember earlier in my life, I didn't really have a lot of options when going out to eat. So,
you know, I think about treat days at school, people bringing in cupcakes, or, you know, like when you're a kid, that's very impactful. You're 8 years old, you're in second grade, you can't eat the birthday snack. I mean, I don't even think my kids at their school, they can't even bring snacks in anymore because of peanut allergies and gluten, yeah. You know, but I'm sure it was different for you 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't really, you know, I don't remember feeling like super excluded. I'm sure. I mean, I was very, I went to private school, very small classes growing up. And so, I mean, and so people, it's not, I'm sure like people who have these big classes and never see the same kid twice, you don't really get accustomed to those allergies. And, you know, when you have that small and that homey of an environment, it's a lot nicer because everyone's like, oh yeah, we have to get, let's see, like, have to get like a gluten-free cupcake for Jackson, which is nice.
Caramel with apples.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you know what? And part of that, I think, in my own opinion, is in parenting, how left out your child feels. And, you know, there's a lot of allergies out there now. You're right. You can't bring cupcakes. You can't bring anything in school. You can't. Oh, yeah. But I don't know. The kids have snacks at school that they can bring into classroom. But, you know, I think it's a lot of it is up to the parent to actually educate the child and to make them feel like they aren't going to be left out. I don't know. Does that make sense to you? Yes, you can't eat what everyone else can eat, but you can have this and make it so they have a snack at snack time that they can eat.
Yeah.
I have mixed emotions about that. And I'm not trying to be insensitive to that. I get it that there are people with allergies that can't eat peanuts, that it's deathly. You know, a peanut can kill somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Is that kind of harsh, Tiffany?
Okay, so I actually, let's see. I have an anaphylaxis reaction to apples. I can't have apples with caramel. I could in my 20s. I can't in my 40s. I have to have an EpiPen if by sheer chance I were to eat a raw apple. It's pretty intense. Wow. Even when I cut up apples for my girls, I've had like apple juice squirt in my eye before. Oh, it's been a hot mess.
Oh,
a mess. But no, I do agree with you. I mean, one of my questions down here, you know, Jackson, was what kind of support is needed, you know, the education and support. And I think this falls right in line. Your parents, obviously, we're right on top of things at 4 years old. Your diet was monitored. You were taught, and others around obviously knew. So I agree. I mean, parents do play a role. Kids play a role. If there were apples at school, I knew I couldn't eat them. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I didn't feel left out. I just knew the consequences if I had it were horrible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of support that I was really exposed to, I was actually last night, knowing that I was going to be talking about celiac, there's this book that we had when I was a little kid. I think that it was, I remember it had like a little hand-drawn superhero with GF across the chest, gluten-free.
The chest.
Okay. And so, and it had like everything you need to know, like everything you can eat, but like to a kid, which I thought, I mean, back then I was like, oh yeah, this is great. My mom would like kind of consult the book whenever she would like want to cook something different. Like, you know, there's recipes in there. There's like, you know, what you can and can't buy. And I'm sure there's tenfold of that kind of book out now because it's, you know, awareness grows every day for it. But, you know, again, I mean, my parents totally, they communicated with other parents and they communicated with teachers. Like, I mean, it's been pretty smooth sailing, you know, just because of the amount of support. It's not too uncommon to be celiac, but I mean, it's still a pretty big deal, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people can have really, really, really bad reactions, and sometimes it can really, really go south. And especially later in life, you can have really bad complications. And so, I mean, support for me was, you know, just seeing that superhero and knowing that, you know, that was something that I didn't feel like a freak or anything, you know. I felt like, you know, I know what I can and I can't eat, and there's some really yummy snacks that I can eat, and I just have to be optimistic about those.
See, I think when you're young and things happen, you don't have to alter your lifestyle a whole lot because you're only four.
Right.
So you're learning this as you grow up versus being 40 and being diagnosed, right? So same, I was severe asthmatic at the age of two. So when I was four and people wanted to play with cats and dogs and horses, like I couldn't do that. But looking back, I never felt like it was a big deal. I mean, it was a big deal. If I think like my kids want to play in the leaves and I like, oh my gosh, they can't play in the leaves. Well, of course they can play in the leaves. I couldn't play in the leaves, you know, right. but I grew up with that. It was my normal. So I didn't feel like anything was different. Now making those kind of changes now, I would be a lot harder.
Yeah. I agree. When I was diagnosed with MS, I decided to do gluten-free for a while. Or I thought I was going to do it for longer than a while, but you know, it lasted however it lasted. But I will never forget when I discovered that Doritos.
Oh, yeah.
The nacho cheese ones were gluten-free when it had the GF on it. I'm like, oh my God, I can have Doritos.
Yeah.
It's not the thing that I wanted to eat. But I'm like, what a treat. Like, it seemed like, oh my God, I'm like, you're having like a dozen donuts. I can have a bag of Doritos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One of those things.
Yeah, so, I was talking to my buddy the other day about Doritos, and he was like, and he's not gluten free, you know, he just eats whatever he wants. And I was like, I think they changed the Doritos. I don't know how long ago that was, but I remember, yeah, definitely a landmark for somebody with celiac, just because, you know, and you taste, and they're good. They're really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can eat, like, an entire bag. I was talking, like I said, I was talking with my buddy the other day, and he was like, oh, yeah, I loved Doritos when I was a kid. And I was like, well, don't you like them now? You know, like, because, I mean, yeah, if there's a bag of Doritos on the counter, and I'm like, I don't know whose this is. I'll take it. I'll eat it. Because I know I can, you know?
Because you know you can.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Have there been any, I'm putting you on the spot here, but have there been any foods that you wouldn't have thought had gluten, or do you just know enough now that you know, or have you been taken off guard by anything? I don't eat gluten-free, so it's not even anything I've looked for. I mean, I've been told that I need to, don't get me wrong, but I've not made that full commitment, so I don't get sick from it. Like, I don't outwardly show symptoms from it, but internally it's probably doing some damage. So I've never sought out products to look for gluten-free. So would there be surprises? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there are some pretty weird things out there that you wouldn't think have gluten in them, but they do. One that comes to mind is imitation crab. So like what they put in California rolls and stuff, that is technically not gluten-free. Okay. And another thing that I thought was like really weird. I remember when I was a kid, we would send thank you notes after Christmas for gifts. The adhesive that you lick on an envelope, that has gluten in it.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Okay.
And
right.
So I would always have to give it to my mom to lick and seal, because she didn't want me to have a reaction. So those are two things that you never know. But like,
no.
it's a lot more things than you would think.
Wow. You haven't missed anything by not licking an envelope with this nasty tasting.
Yeah.
I will tell you right now.
I don't wake up every day and think about it.
Oh, I love it. I'm lazy. I use the peel off sticker one because that's gross. I don't like to lick envelopes anyway.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself like looking at packaging, like looking for that GF? You know what I mean? Just honing in on that.
And you know, I think a very valuable skill that my mom taught me was just how to read labels and how to read ingredients. You know, like it's like looking out for wheat, barley, rye, which are the kind of like the big three that you're supposed to avoid, because those all have gluten proteins in them. And I mean, obviously you can just eyeball stuff if it's breaded, you know, it's questionable, but yeah, you know, that's something that I'm really glad that they taught me. Cause you know, if I'm like out with my friends and I want to eat something, I can just flip it over, read the ingredients and make sure that I can eat it. So yeah, that's something that's really useful. And, you know, as long as I'm back there, I can check the amount of sugar that's in it, and you know, so that really helps.
That's cool. How are your friends with all of this? Like, obviously you've probably had these friends for your group of friends is probably your friends you've had for a while. Like when you're going out, hey, let's go to Sonic, or you know, I don't know, whatever. How is that? Like, well, I can't go, or it's got to be sometimes kind of, I don't know, maybe feel left out, or are they really aware and they try to take your celiac into account where you may meet up, or, you know, because let's be real, you know, kids go to McDonald's and Burger King and, you know, hangout places are usually a lot of food places. So how does that work with you and your group?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the friend that I was talking to about the Doritos, I've been friends with him forever. Like, I'm pretty sure I met him like the fifth grade, and we're still friends, right. And I'm a senior now. And, you know, I'm sure for him, it's just kind of even become just like, oh, yeah, Jackson's gluten-free, you know, whatever. We eat a lot of Mexican food, which has the corn tortillas. So that's kind of like our go-to spot. Like, we'll just go get tacos. It's always a little weird when it's like someone I'm meeting for the first time and I'm eating a hot dog with a fork and knife, you know, like that's always a little weird because people like you can get some weird looks, but no one's going to be like, hey, what are you doing? Like, no one's going to be that in your business. So, I mean, it's not, you know, and like kind of like Tiffany said, you know, it's just been something that's been in my life, you know, as long as I can remember. And if anything, people aren't like, I don't really feel like pressure about it. If anything, people are more apologetic about it.
Right.
You know, because it's, you know, it's a larger thing now. It's like people are like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I didn't know. And they remember it because they don't want, obviously, you know, they don't want you to have a reaction at their house, you know?
Right.
That could go south pretty fast. But yeah, you know, I mean, the friends that I have are, you know, they're mindful, but they're not, it's not something that like changes that dynamic or anything, which I'm grateful for.
That's awesome. I think back to like your grandmother and just being 56 before knowing what was wrong. And then versus someone like you, who were diagnosed early in life. So it's been more manageable, obviously, and hopefully long-term, less complications. I did a little bit of reading before this podcast, and it said that 1 in 100 people have celiac disease. That's higher than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. My mom, a lot of the recipes that she's gotten, that we still use today are from people that she knows whose kids have celiac or they have celiac. And obviously she's been informed by my grandma because my grandma was diagnosed and she was like, oh, I got to change my entire diet. Might as well just read up as much as I can. I know a good amount of people who have it. And yeah, it's not as uncommon as you might think.
I know I'm chatting here, Tressa, but no, you can chime in. But I feel like, too, it's probably a lot of people are trying to not eat carbs. Like, we're in this world of keto and low carb, and people are not eating bread anyway. So I almost feel like maybe going out to eat and making adjustments to menus and restaurants. Do you feel like it's a little easier now than it was 5 years ago?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, it's been like a lot of these places I can have a burger with a bun because gluten-free buns are just that much easier to come by. I mean, it's a little bit of an upcharge, but my parents are like, yeah, sure. You've been missing out your entire life. You know, a dollar, $2 isn't going to hurt.
I'd be taking it out of your allowance.
Yeah. 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 I'm thankful for that too.
Oh, how proactive, though, your whole family's been, really, from your grandmother telling your mom, hey, heads up here, let's, you know what, you got to think about this, and that she got you guys tested, and that's just so heads up proactive, you know, for your whole entire family. That's just awesome, because really, I mean, you could have gone, you know, really half your childhood having issues and not knowing what was wrong, and it really kind of saved you from that.
Yeah. I'm very grateful.
Yep. Oh, one question. Is there one thing, food-wise, you would wish you could have?
Like every day? Because, I mean, I think one or two times I've slipped up and, like, tasted stuff that I wasn't supposed to, I think. Let me think.
So when you say one or two times you've slipped up, you follow a really strict gluten-free diet. I mean, you do, right?
And I try to as much as I can, yeah.
Sure, yeah. So it is your everyday. It's impactful, you know, every day. That's a good question. So I don't know if there's one thing that I can't eat, what could I eat? Yeah, that's a good question, Jackson. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd have to think about that one. Let me think. Oh, Popeye's chicken sandwich. Just because those things, because my really? Sister and my dad love them. Uh-huh. And they're like this thing is, it's like a religious experience. Like, it's ridiculous. So That's something I definitely want to try. Okay. You know, if I didn't have celiac, but like I yeah, again, it's not something I wake up every day like, man, if only my small intestines could handle the protein gluten. But, yeah.
No, that's great. I love it.
All right. Well, this has been a good conversation, and I've kind of learned a lot actually about celiac through this. It's been great. We thank you for joining us today too.
Yeah, of course.
Taking the time out of your busy teenage schedule.
Yeah, yeah. I got a lot going on for sure.
To sit and do a podcast with us. It's been great.
Just going to say, I'm sure you're busy. You work with Tressa. You're in high school. It's COVID. You have friends. I mean, I just can't even imagine, you know, what's going on over there. I'm secluded in my house. I don't have a life. So I know yours is probably very different. No, I just want to thank you for the time. I feel like every autoimmune disorder, it's different. And it's also the same autoimmune disorder is different in each person. So just having conversations like this, it's helpful.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad I could be of service.
That's awesome. Educational for sure. All right. So I think we're going to wind up here. Wish you the best with your health. This is Tressa signing off, and we hope everyone is healthy.
And this is Tiffany. Thank you for joining us today and listening to our podcast. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.
We appreciate you spending this time with us and hope that you have enjoyed our podcast, The Autoimmune Mamas. Never forget that the disease does not define who you are. You are strong and you are amazing. This is Tressa and Tiffany signing off for now. Hope to see you next time. Have a great day.
The available podcast, Autoimmune Mamas, has been produced for entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast does not constitute medical or professional advice and does not create any type of professional relationship between the audience and the presenters.